You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk. Matthew 5 verse 8. Hallelujah. And you get that in your Bible. I did have a text today from the pastor in Malaysia. And so they're 7 hours, 5 hours ahead. And so their revival has finished. And he says, thank you for sending the team there. Thank you for sending Pastor Jamil there. And he said, thank you to me and thank you to you. So you've been thanked. Amen. Amen. Give yourself a round of applause. Amen. For your generosity, your investment, and everything else. You are a great church. Hallelujah. And I say that with all sincerity. But let's get into the series that we're dealing with right now. We are talking about Christ's culture. We want Christ to be the influence, the most influential person in our church. How many know that? We want Jesus to be the most influential person in our church. We want Jesus to be the most influential person in our lives. We are not trying to keep up with whoever. We are trying to follow Jesus. How many know that? We are not trying to be what we see on the media and all of that. We want to follow Jesus. And this is why we say, you know what? We want Christ culture in our church. Matthew 5 verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Straight from the lips of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now that you would help us as we digest this word, as we unpack truth from this very famous passage of scripture. Pray that we won't overlook what you want us to know from this. I pray, Father, as we go into it, it will bless us, it will change us and challenge us. And Father, most of all, that your gospel and your son, Father, would be revealed in this. We ask you all of this, knowing that you are faithful and you always answer our prayers according to your will. And we say amen. And the church says, amen. I want to speak about this text. And many of us have heard it. We've read it. I've kind of preached on it in the past. But let me start by saying this. I do not like to be hungry. How many of you are with me? Look, come on. We're not going to call you a glutton. We're not going to measure your waist or give you a body fat index. But how many just don't like to be hungry? I'm not. How many men in this place? I don't like being hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Goldman Cook. No, I'm only joking. And so, yes. I don't like being hungry. I mean, when you get hungry, you. Well, let me tell you about me. When I get hungry, I don't really like to talk. Yeah. Have you ever been that person? Like, are you? Is it just me or are you with me? When I'm hungry, I'm not in a talking mood. Now, I'm not the best at small talk anyway. You know, my wife, she's good at small talk. If you know my wife, you know, Sister France, she's just good at the small talk. Whenever we go to a restaurant, whenever we go out, she'll be talking to someone. Someone came, you know, we went into a restaurant and the woman was talking to her about something to do with her makeup. And they're just having this long conversation. And I'm like... And really, you know, my wife knows I'm just not someone into small talk. I don't have small talk. When I need to have deep conversations. That's just the way I'm wired. And so I can do a few words and then it's like, yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's hot, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, okay. Awkward. That's just the way I am. So if you've ever had that from me, no, it's not that you're boring or I don't like you. I just don't have my small talk. But anyway, enough about me. And let's focus on Jesus. But when I'm hungry, I'm even less talkative. I've got no time for talking. I need to eat. I need to eat right now. And my mind is just thinking. This is how my mind is thinking. Because I mean, when you don't eat, you start to feel weak. How many men that you feel like you're just weak and you're just depleted, man? I need some food. I need some food in me. It's a good study on this. I pray, you know, we can prove this. When you go to a wedding,
How many of you go to a wedding? It's like, so you got up early, you got all dressed up, and you come to the wedding, you're early, and so, amen. She comes down, the guests start coming. The groom is there. He's looking. He never looked that good. He's had a bath and, you know, shaved. Usually his hair's like a microphone. Now he's just like had a fade. He looks good. She comes in. Woo! She looks a million pounds. She's looking good. And so there's the ceremony, the sermon, and then the congratulations. They're taking a few photographs outside. Then they go take some photographs wherever they've gone to. Sometimes it feels like they've gone to the moon because we're waiting for them at the reception, starving. I mean, we're starving now because we were so busy getting ourselves ready. We didn't have any breakfast. And so we're sitting there waiting for them to come in. And so people start to come in and bit by bit now, You've been sitting there an hour and they give you some peanuts at the table and you've eaten all of the peanuts and mints and you've done all of that. And after a while, it's like people just stop talking. People, you see someone come in.
What's up? Peace.
You know, and people, you know, and there's always jolly people. Hey, how you doing? I'm cool. What's the matter? Nothing's the matter. I was hungry. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. And so that goes on. And that you can see when people are hungry, they it changes them. Yeah. It changes them, man. They go in the queue. They're just focused, man. They don't want to talk. They just got their paper plate. And if there's someone like two down in front and you want to talk to them, you just go like, talk. Hey, what's up? They're looking. You're not, you. No, I'm just talking to them. Just, hey, what's up? I'm just talking. Listen, you become focused. And then after people have eaten now, hey, praise God, what's up? You can come with those. This is what I always say to people. When I'm arranging weddings, we go through this and that. Both, all of you that have got married or you're arranging a wedding, you know how I got. And I say, listen, don't make people wait, you know. Because listen, and then you're making people wait. And so, you know, people, maybe we should do the speeches. Listen, don't be doing those speeches until you fed people. Hey, I'm not listening to no speeches if you ain't fed me. Those speeches are hard to listen to even after food. Before food, I'm leaving. Jesus says, it is a blessing to be hungry and thirsty. He says, that's a blessing. But when Jesus is saying this hunger and this thirst is a blessing, how many know he's not talking about food? Because he says to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Say righteousness.
Righteousness.
Say it again.
Righteousness.
Say it again.
Righteousness.
This is what Jesus is talking about. He says it's a blessing when people hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does he mean? You know, what Jesus is saying is for me to be righteous. There is a hunger and a thirst. Think about all what I've said about food. But this is not talking about when you hunger to be righteous. When you hunger, when you have a hunger, when you say, Lord, I want to be righteous. For me to be righteous. That it, what we're talking about is that you have a desire, an inner desire, a longing. That something in you longs to be right with God. When something in you hungers and longs and desires to do the right thing, to live right, not to just live like a sinner, not just to do my own thing, but something in me longs to do the right thing. No matter, basically, I'm not saying to sin and do what you want as long as you want to do right, but no, but even though when you're not doing what you should be doing, something in you longs to do right. To live right. And Jesus says he calls it a hunger. You know, we learn a lot from this because how many know hunger comes from within? A hunger, you know, you feel hunger from deep within. Some of you feel hunger more than others, but that's where it comes from. How many know most of the times you're not just walking around and someone says, yo, you're hungry. Yeah, am I? Yeah, you're hungry. How many know it doesn't work like that? People telling you you're hungry. It comes from within you. Something in you says, I'm hungry. The Bible is showing us here, something in us should say, I want to be right. We shouldn't have to tell you all the time. If we're constantly telling you to do right, and nothing naturally inside of you wants to do right, you don't have that hunger. As a Christian today, you must have that hunger. There must be a hunger. Listen, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter where you are in Christ, no matter how you're living right now, whether you're on that pinnacle where you're just doing everything right, where there are things in your life you're struggling and you're like, God, I want to change. I don't want to live like this. There needs to be a desire in you. When there isn't a desire in you, then what can we do? See, I can't tell you. I can tell you what is right. I can't make you want to do right. Did you know that? No one on this planet can make you want to do right. We can only tell you what is right. And so many times you see people in church, and sometimes pastors fall prey to this, and I'm sure I've probably done it as well, where you're trying to make people want. Yeah, and the part of preaching is that, persuading and showing the arguments for and warning people about sin and hell and the consequences. But at the end of the day, if they don't want it, there's nothing you can do for them. If they don't feel the hunger. If I go to a wedding and I've already eaten full, I don't want to get up. I don't want to lining up, holding my paper plate. No way. I've already eaten. I'm full. See, the Bible speaks about Psalms 119 verse 20. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. My soul breaks with longing. This is a hunger for God. Isaiah 26 verse 9. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. The two things there, he desired. The first scripture, longing. The Bible says that this is the posture of a Christian. Does that describe you and God? Do you long for God? Do you desire God? Is there a hunger inside of you? Psalms 73 verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing upon the earth that I desire besides you. And then he says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look what it says here. It says, whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. Can you say that today? That God, you are the one thing I desire more. I heard a story about a guy that was very wealthy, and a guy wanted to date his daughter. He's very wealthy, and so a guy wants to date his daughter, and so the guy offers the guy a lot of money. He says, I'll give you £50,000 or £500,000, loads of money, if you just leave my daughter. And the guy says, no. And then he says, well, now I know that you love my daughter. And now I know that you're not just after her for her money. See, is there a hunger for God in you, or can we just give you something else? Can we just give you a little something else and buy you away from him? A job. Can a job just come up and distract you from God? Yeah? What about an education? Can an education come up and distract you from God? Now you're going to leave church. And what about a boyfriend? Yeah, you're all following Jesus until a boyfriend comes along. Or a girlfriend. See, is there a hunger in you? See, over the last 3 weeks, we've been going through what they call the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the meek. They're called the Beatitudes. It's the blessings. But I want to say that as we're at this point, we can really establish a Beatitude connection. Because the first one we dealt with was being poor in spirit. And we spoke about poor in spirit really means to be empty of yourself. To be empty. To be poor is to be empty. And you got to realize the connection is because when you are empty, then you are hungry. You realize to hunger and thirst for righteousness, you must go through a process of emptying of self. If you're not empty of self, then you're not going to be hungry. Like I said, if I eat before I go to the wedding, fill myself up, then I'm not going to be hungry. And the reason why many are not hungry is because they're not empty of self. The reason why there is no hunger in you is because you're not empty of self. You're filled with other things, filled with sin. Sin will kill your appetite for God. Did you know that? Sin kills your appetite for God. People come into church, but in the secret, they're sleeping around, they're being immoral, fornication, adultery, looking at pornography. And you know what happens eventually? It's eating away their appetite for God. They're full up on sin. They're full up on sin, and now they have no hunger. They come to church and it's like they've got nothing anymore that pushes them and drives them. People fill up themselves on the world, the entertainment of the world, the media of the world, the desires of the world, the ambitions of the world, and everything is about the pride of life. Some people are filled up on religion, their own self-righteousness. See, we've got to come to a place where we realize that we are discontented with the old. I remember coming to a place where sin could no longer, it had nothing for me anymore. I come to a place where I'd go to a rave, go to a party, and I'd go in there, and by 3-4 in the morning, I'm there, and something's just like, I've done this last night, the night before. Just something's missing. Something's missing here, where the world cannot give it to me, where there's a discontentment. And some of you, even in the church, but I want to say this is why we preach the gospel. Because when you preach the gospel, this is how you open people's eyes to their situation. This is how people understand that their life is not meeting the mark. See, this is how you create hunger and thirst, by you being on fire for God, living for Jesus, and preaching the gospel. In your workplace, you go in and you witness, you tell people about Jesus and the gospel. You tell people that, listen, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says all sinners will go to hell unless they repent. The Bible says that Jesus died for all of us. Turn to Jesus. What you're doing is you're creating appetite. People will start to get hungry around you. The Bible says that we are what? We are the salt of the earth. If I put a lot of salt on a meal, what is the reaction? You become more thirsty. And the Bible says you are the salt that God puts on every meal. He's put you in that workplace to create thirst. He's put you in that neighborhood to create thirst. He's put you in that school and that college. He saved you in that family to create thirst. You are to preach the gospel and stand up for Jesus in that place where you are, because you're creating a thirst where people, they may not, you know, start saying, oh, praise the Lord, and fall down and start speaking in tongues as soon as you walk in the room. But you are, by your lifestyle and by your consistent faithfulness and your preaching of the gospel, they bit by bit, they go out and rave and they're like, but I'm still thirsty. They're in a bed of fornication, sleeping around, got your boyfriend and your girlfriend. You're in a gang or in this or that, but something is missing. See, the Bible shows us here that there's going to be a hunger before the blessing. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get hungry first. Turn back and say, you too. Say, you look hungry. No, don't say that. Don't say that. You get the wrong end of the stick. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Now we know, can I say to you there, being hungry is not the blessing, but it comes before the blessing. That's what it is. The blessing is being filled. But Jesus says, when you're hungry, you're blessed because you're going to be filled. See, Jesus keeps describing negative circumstances and then saying it's blessed. He says, poor in spirit. at the end, blessed. He said mourning, then he says blessed, as in mourning, crying, being feeling sad, sorrow. He says then there's a blessing. So it's not in the hunger and thirst. It's not being hungry and thirsty that's a blessing. That's what comes before the blessing. And let me explain this, that it's in the negative, unpleasant process that comes before the filling. That's what it is. It's a negative, unpleasant process that comes before you are about to be filled. See, many times we forget this and we become religious. We are creatures of religion. Some of you have come to here today not to seek God. You've come out of a religious obligation. Some of you haven't come into the church today thinking, I'm going to meet with God. Some of you weren't singing those songs, connecting your heart with His heart. Some of you just sung those songs. So it's Wednesday, it's church. And if we're honest, how many of we've all done that? Okay, I've done it. More than once. We are creatures of religion. We always keep turning the relationship with God into a religion. That is our, we like religion, he wants relationship. We constantly, he sends his son, he reaches out to us. You look for all the Old Testament, New Testament, God keeps saying, I want a relationship. We keep saying, here's a religion. God's like, no, I want a relationship. Here's a religion. And so because we are a young church, because we do not have many of the traditions that we assimilate, that is assimilated with Western religion, we think that we can't be religious. We're Potter's House. We cannot be religious. No, we can easily be religious. And what I mean by that is we stop seeking God. We stop seeking God. God becomes an accessory, one of the other elements of our life. We have a job, we have a marriage, we have finances, we have clothes, we have food, we have God. He just becomes one of these other things. Can I say, once God has become one of those other things, He is no longer God. He's only God when He's above all of those other things. And what happens is, we start to change. And I'm speaking to Christians right now. This is when you start to feel weak. You ever been in church for a while? You don't need to put your hand up. Don't need to just wink at me. No, don't wink. I want the winking. You can blink. But the reality is you've been serving God and now you start to feel weak. It's like you don't want to read your Bible no more. So... Yeah, that's a good one. Just lift your eyebrows. You was doing it. I didn't do it. You stop praying like you used to pray. You start to feel weak. Just going on outreach becomes a chore now. The things that you once did that were easy now seem to be so hard. That zeal and that fire that you once had is gone. I want to really delve into our hearts today. Even in the church, you got people around you and a church of this size, but you can be in this church and you can feel lonely. You could be a woman in this place, a single woman, you love God, but you're lonely. You could be a single man in this place, you're lonely. You start to go through this process. A sense of hopelessness. People in church feeling depressed. It's when your Christianity gets to the point where it just feels, this is long. This is just, something's changed. And I want to say to you, this is where the enemy comes in. This is where the enemy comes into your life. And he starts to speak to you. He starts to whisper. And tell you things. And say, listen, it's over for you. It's hopeless for you. You don't have it. You're not like them. You're not like the rest of them. Look at you now. You used to read 10 chapters just in the morning. Now it's taking you 10 weeks to read one verse. You used to witness all the way up and down Junction. You wouldn't even leave your house without flyers. You haven't witnessed anybody in months. You used to love church and love worship. Now you just want to go home. And he starts to speak to you and say, give up. He starts to bewitch you and speak into your mind.
You know what time it is. Just stand here. Don't worry, I'm gonna be the devil. You're serving God, but you're going through this period, and the devil's just whispering to you, hey, this is long. And so what I want you to do is just, that's good. Just copy what I say. This is long.
This is long.
I should give up. This church is not for me. This is what some of you are doing. You say the very thing the devil whispers to your mind. I'm never going to get married.
I'm never going to have a good job.
This is what the devil, he's just telling you all of these things and you keep agreeing with him. This is simple as it is. He speaks to you in your own voice. He speaks to you in your own voice. You sit at home alone and he just, you know, this is what he's saying to you.
Just stay at home and watch TV.
It's only a Wednesday.
Just one.
Come on.
We can hang out.
Listen, you started to become bewitched. You're just saying things, hopeless, speaking hopelessness over your life. This is too hard. I can't do this. This is, and you're saying all of these things. Sometimes you're saying it to other Christians. Sometimes the worst thing is the people you're saying it to, they're saying it back. They're not even rebuking you. They're like, yeah, you're right. Wait there. Jesus dealt with this. Don't worry, you're not going to be there all day. Matthew 4 verse 3.
And when the tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said. See, rather than mimicking the devil, you need to answer the devil. You need to answer and say, it is written. That's what he says, it is written. Meaning he goes to the word of God. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But he says, he answered and said, but it is written.
You know what to say? It is written. Just keep your hands down. Hey, let's just stay at home, man. This thing is long. Come on, you're depressed.
It is written.
It could have been said a bit more. How do you say that in France?
Honestly.
France. France is a language, by the way.
ED.
ED. ET. All right, go sit down, man. The devil's speaking to you. You need to be like, devil's like, you ain't never going to get married. It is written, you lying devil. Listen, if God knows what I need, he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and his glory. Get out. You need to say, what does the Bible say? This is too hard. No, this ain't too hard. Hard is the way of the transgressor. Jesus says his yoke is easy, his burden is light.
The Bible says that he has sealed me unto the day of redemption. I will make it. Yeah. No, no, you failed. You fell too low. You've gone, no. Amen. See, at this low point, this is where the devil comes in. But we need to discern, what is this period of my life? Why am I going through this period of my life? Can I say to you today, don't listen to the enemy. God is not finished with you. All of these feelings, this loneliness, this depression, this emptiness, this lack of zeal, the demonic attacks. Well, many times, these are the hunger pains. What's happening is, really, you for a while, you was just doing your own thing. You just like you didn't need God. You're just doing your own thing. Yeah. Friends, I've got friends in church. I'm married now. Yeah, I've got a job now. I've got my education now. And you've been putting God as one of those other things. Yeah, blah. There's house, there's money, there's this, there's God. And you've been going like that. And so basically, you slowly start starving. Oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like praying. This thing is long. Oh, I don't feel. And the devil comes in. You ain't going to make it. Look at you. You don't. Why is it like this? Listen, it's just hunger pains. God has allowed you once again to become hungry. God has allowed you again to need him. Think about what is hunger. Hunger is just an unpleasant experience telling you you need something. That's all it is. Hunger is an unpleasant experience. When your belly is rumbling, it's saying, give me food. It doesn't mean you're going to die. It doesn't mean kill yourself. It just means give me what I need. Listen, when you start to go through these dry, low periods, it's just your spirit saying, I'm hungry. Give me more of God. Focus yourself back on me. God is not finished with you. See, it's the hunger that comes before the revival and the filling. God is trying to get you to the next level. This is why sometimes it's not even because you've sinned or you've done anything wicked. God's just saying, listen, I need to bring you to the next level. I want to bring you up further. If I allowed you to be comfortable there, you would stay there until the end. But listen, I want you to fly. I don't want you just to stay in the nest like a little chicken. And I've got to come and put, no, I'm stirring up the nest. I'm pushing you out. It feels uncomfortable. Why would you do this to me, God? Where are you, God? You used to bring food to me. And if just feed me like that, all I needed to do is pray once. Just pray for 5 minutes, I'd get it. Now, I've been praying. Where are you? You've left me. No, he hasn't left you, but he wants you to fly. He wants you to rise up with wings as eagles and soar above and go higher. The hunger comes before the filling. He wants to get you to the next level. He hasn't left you. It's not over for you. Look at someone and say, it's not over. You're going to go higher. Tell him, you're going to go higher. You're moving up. Tell him, you're moving up. Hallelujah. This is what we need to do. I need to close this thing off. Listen, this is what we need to do. Let your hunger become a desire for God. Let your hunger become a desire for God. Let this low period of your life, let this just this tough prayer, tough word, lack of outreach, not feeling for souls, everything's distracted. Bring it before God and say, God, I feel weak and hungry. I don't feel like I used to feel. God, I need you. Yes. Let your hunger become a desire for God. And the Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. You will be filled. You shall be filled. God never lies and he never draws back on a promise. Yeah. He will fill you. This word filled when I was studying in the commentaries, they said this is a strong word. It means to fatten up. Not like that. That God is going to fill you, man. God's like, yeah, you want more? There's more. More? More. Oh, my day. God's like, I got more. Listen, no, you ain't finished. I got more for you. That's what it's saying. That God is going to fill you to overflow. And we understand. Listen, the word filled means to be satisfied, content. This is what we're all looking for. We're all looking for fulfillment. Yes. Yeah. You can look at me like, this is why you went into that relationship, for fulfillment. This is why you took those drugs, that alcohol. You was looking for fulfillment. This is why you was going raving and you was getting into all of this for fulfillment. This is why you want money, because you think money will give you fulfillment. The very thing that you're looking for is found when you are hungry before God. God says, if you will just start to hunger and desire me, the very thing you was looking for, I saw you wandering from rave to rave, from boyfriend to boyfriend, from girlfriend to girlfriend, from job to job, from career to career, from this to that. 1 minute you was ghetto, next minute you was hip-hop, next minute you was gothic, next minute you was ragaman. Or you're doing everything and you're still not fulfilled. Come to me, hunger and thirst for me, and you will never need to go anywhere else. You will never need to go from me to this to that. You will stick with me because I will fulfill you. Proverbs 8 verse 17, I love those who love me. This is what God says. I love those. Oh, think about it now. When you're there, God, I just love you. I feel weak. God, I love you. Because I love you. Think about it now. God's like, I love you. I love you. That's what God said. I love those that love me. When you just say, when you come into church and you just worship God, I love you. God's like, whoo. I love you. That's what the Bible says. He loves those that love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. God, where are you? God, God will appear. God will reveal himself. He will pack more righteousness in you than you ever thought possible. He will change you. He will make you righteous. We understand the doctrinal transformation of becoming justified and righteous. And we understand that we're made righteous through Christ, not our own abilities, our own actions, be made righteous. But can I say, there needs to be a playing out of that. There needs to be some sanctification. What that means is I need to change. What it is as you hunger for God at this low point, you're feeling the hunger pains, allow that hunger to direct you to desire God, and you will start to change. You will start to have righteous actions. You will start to do right. Where you did wrong, you're going to start doing right. Listen, tonight, some of you, you've been doing wrong. Tonight, you're going to start doing right. Some of you, your words, you've been saying wrong. You're going to start saying right. Some of you, you've been thinking wrong, stinking thinking. God is going to stuff righteousness in you. He's like, there's some action, there's some words, and let me get, I haven't even finished, there's some thinking. Get rid of that stinking. Listen, righteous thinking, you'll be just, hallelujah, thinking of righteousness, thinking about good things. No longer this, no. Thinking about good things. Where you failed, you're going to succeed. You will have victory over old sins. Victory over old sins. Where you've been weak and been falling down and compromising and had no strength, you are going to change. Because he says, if you are hungry and thirsty, God's going to do it. Listen, he's going to stuff it in you. The righteousness of God is going to flow out of your life. It's going to change your marriage. It's going to change your family. It's going to change everything. But you've got to hunger. You've got to say, God, I need you. See, we see where these beatitudes are so connected, because let me just review where we've been to understand what is a Christian, what is Christ culture. We began with saying to be poor in spirit. Simply, let me just say simply this, to be empty. God, I'm empty. I got no righteousness in me. The next thing we saw was mourning. This is when you feel, God, I keep sinning and I keep doing wrong. I feel bad. I feel it. I feel the lack of my righteousness. The next thing is there's a meekness about you. There's a meekness. It's just like, okay, what do you want? When people realize they're empty, when people mourn over their sin, these are people that are truly meek. And then the next thing is you hunger. Listen, I've heard that you have it. You have the righteousness. I can change if you give me your righteousness. I can do right. I can live right, speak right, think right. I can be right. And you come to him. And this is the condition that he wants us to be in as a Christian. And this is where transformation is. Not religion, not just coming to church, not playing a game, being in ministry. How you doing? Praise God. No. This is the condition that we go through. This is why this looks negative, but this negative experiences are the valley that we go through so that we can fly high with Jesus and be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.